12. For the next few minutes, I want to share with you and preach on the question that I get asked the most, no matter where I go. More judges have asked me this question than I can count. Prosecutors, lawyers that are for us and against us, boy, they ask it all the time. Legislators, boy, all over America and in Washington, they're always asking me this one question. And it's a question we should be anxious to answer. You say, well, Brother Gibbs, what's the question? They say, David, I hear everything you say about these Christians and what they believe and what they stand for and what the Bible says. I hear all that. But David, I got this one question. Are they real? Or is this just a good act? Are we really what we say we are? Or do we just tell them what we wish we were? Do we just tell them what we'd hopefully like to be? And is a lot of this just a good act? Now, they don't care if it's an act, because 99.99% of them, their religion is just a good act. That's why they can change it so casually. Have you ever asked yourself, how do these preachers, man, say one thing, and then they say another thing, and they just keep sliding and moving out there? If it's an act, it's not hard to do at all. You're just changing the act. You're re-scripting it. But God never called you, and he never called me to be a good act. He's called us to be real.
Amen.
And I wonder if your kids would say, Mom's real. Dad's real. Grandma and Grandpa are real. Now, everybody here has been fooled at some time in their life on something that you thought was real and it wasn't real. I was in Chicago on a Saturday night a number of years ago, and we were on Maxwell Street. And if you ever go to Chicago, you want to go to Maxwell Street on Friday or Saturday night. It's a great place to visit. All kinds of vendors back up their vans, their trucks, and they open up the trunks and they line up along Maxwell Street. And you walk along and they try to sell you stuff out of their vehicles. And you can get incredible bargains. I mean, incredible. You can get a Rolex watch for $14. How many of you now understand Maxwell Street a little bit? I mean, it's just, and when the cops come, they all scatter, but then the minute the cops are gone, they all come back again. And Maxwell Street's just interesting, and it's fun to walk along and listen to these guys make their pitches. And man, I mean, they literally roll up their sleeves and they'll have 20 watches on each arm, and they want to sell you, they give you their arm if you take the watch. Well, I'm walking along, and a guy out of the back of his trunk, he says, hey, big guy over here. He said, I got Van Heusen shirts in your size. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I don't believe it. Let me see him. He hands me a Van Heusen shirt in my size that is sealed in the wrapper. And it says Van Heusen. And the stitching and the wrapper front and back sealed is Van Heusen. And the pastor's wife with me, she said, let me see that. And boy, she's looking it over and she said, Brother Gibbs, this is a Van Heusen shirt. I said, you're sure? Oh, she said, I'm telling you, this is real. He said, I got 10 of them in your size and I'm selling them for $10 a piece. I said to this lady, I said, "Ma, this looks real." She said, "I'm telling you, that's real." I said, "I'll tell you what. I'll give you $5 a shirt. I'll take all 10. And this is back when a Van Heusen shirt would have been $30, $40. I said, $5 a shirt. I'll take all 10. I'll give you $50. He said, "No, no, no, no." I said, "Oh, yeah, yeah." I said, "The cops are coming. Come on, we got to give you this in a hurry here." And he said, "Oh, all right." And so, man, he hands me the 10 shirts. That night, I called my wife. I said, "You won't believe it. I got 10 Van Heusen shirts for $50. She said, "Are you sure they're real?" I said, "Honey, I'm positive." Well, when I got home, I gave them to her. I said, "Look at these." She said, "I don't believe it. These are Van Heusen shirts." She said, "Man, you rung the bell." I said, "Hey, do I know what I'm doing or what?" Yeah. About 20 minutes later, she said, "You better come upstairs." And I came upstairs and she said, "These are Van Heusen shirts, but they don't have a back in them. They were made for funeral homes." If anyone wants a bargain, I got 9 Van Heusens in the wrapper. Whoa, was I took. Whoa. You know what's sad? There's all kinds of Christians that are no different than that shirt. They're pretending to be what they're not. And they're saved. They're heaven bound. They could be real. But they've mastered the act. So they know how to come to church and fit. They know when to say amen. They know the songs. They know how to say, "Oh, God bless you. Great to be here." But they know it's an act. And God knows it's an act. You say, "Well, Brother Gibbs, I'd never do that." Well, can I confess to you? There's been moments I pretended to be what I'm not. I pretended to be on the hallelujah side when I wasn't. I pretended to, and I got a feeling if I walked these rows, there's a lot of people here that, boy, if you've been saved any length of time, the act comes easy. And so when they say, "David, are they real? I know some preachers that are a good act. Boy, on the platform, Brother Scotty, they're amazing. But that's as good as it gets right there." Because, man, you deal with them off the platform and you say, "Where'd that guy go?" Well, I'll tell you what happened. We thought they were the act, and they weren't. Get ready to read with me what the Bible has to say in Romans chapter 12. "I beseech you therefore, brethren." Now underline the word "beseech." If you can read that and be comfortable, I don't know that you understand what was just said. The word "beseech" means to beg, it means to plead, it means to implore. It's the word you use when you're with all your fiber begging for something, and this is God begging you. Are you comfortable with God having to beseech you? I love your pastor. I've known him a long time. If he were to say to me, David, I'm begging, I'm pleading, please, 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 David, I'm begging, I'd say, preacher, what are you doing? You don't ever have to beg me. Never. I love you. You tell me it's a done deal. It would hurt me if he begged me. Does it trouble you that God, who gives you every breath, who sent his son to pay for your sins, is beseeching you? Don't ever get comfortable with that. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, after all he's done for us, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, the only person who can put you on the altar is you. And God's begging, the command is, every one of us is to be a living sacrifice. Amen. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, underline the word reasonable. Anything less than a living sacrifice is unreasonable Christianity. I don't know where they'd be around here, but they're everywhere. Churches are popping up that say, no, 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 you don't want to be a living sacrifice. You want a God who you can manipulate and get him to work for you, not you for him. You hear me? That's unreasonable Christianity by declaration of the Word of God. God says, what I'm asking for is your reasonable service. Look at what he says next. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now he says, the world's going to try to get you into their mold. The world loves it when you're a good act. You don't have to be real, just a good act. And God says, don't you let the world get you in your mold. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Now underline the word prove. This is where it gets real. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? God says, I want you to be the proof of reality. Not a good act, the proof of reality. Mercy. I was watching a TV program one day, and it was really interesting. It was a mega car auction. And they were running all these expensive cars through, and it's just fun to watch them bid. And in your mind, as ridiculous as it is, you kind of join in it mentally. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd pay $1.2 million for that. That looks pretty good to me. And I mean, it's just fun to watch. And one of the announcers said, isn't it amazing what they're paying for these cars? And the other guy piped up and said, no, because they're not paying that for the car. And he said, what do you mean? He said, let me rattle off the last 10 purchases. And he did. He said, that's what, he said, no, they're not. He said, they're not paying that for the car. They're paying that for the transformation of the car. He said, these cars are better than the day they left the factory. He said, they've been totally transformed. He said, every nut, every wire, every bolt, every stitch is perfect. They were never that good new. But they've been transformed, and they're not buying that car, they're buying the transformation. And then he paused and he said, it's a little like life. He said, if you got the right transformation, you got a life that's valuable. But he said, if the wrong things are transforming you, he said, you'll be a mess. Boy, I like to come right out of my seat. I thought, that'll preach. Here's the question. Are you a living sacrifice? And for real, have you been transformed? Or is it an act? Now, the balance of this chapter tells us how to do that transformation. And tonight, briefly, I want you to look at 3 points with me. Drop down, if you would, please, to verse 9. That says, I want you to be real. I want you to prove. That means be real. What is that good and acceptable? Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Dissimulation means fake, it means phony, it means put on, it means pretend. You know what God says? I forbid pretend love. I forbid it. I command you to love, but I want your love to be real. Do you love for real? Or is it a lot of the time just an act? Do you really love? A man by the name of Sam Walton came up with a really neat idea, a business model that's changed America and the world. And he founded a little company called Walmart. How many of y'all ever been to a Walmart? How many of you like me love Walmart? I mean, I enjoy going there, watching all that stuff. He said, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna put a guy in the front of my store and he's gonna pretend he likes you. And he's gonna act like he's happy you're there. Now, he's not happy you're there. He's happy your credit card is there. And I'm gonna have him pretend, and I think I can get you to go along with the pretend. He's gonna shake your hand, and the man's right, he don't wanna shake your hand unless I pay him. And the minute I'm done paying him, he's out of there. And you know that. But you say, oh, they're so friendly. You bought the act. But it's changed everything. Now you walk in a restaurant. Oh, we're so glad you're here. A motel. Oh, what? And you know what? They're being taught to fake it. And a lot of them are pretty good at it. You know what? What we ought to do is put a greeter in the front of the church. And we're going to give you the ministry of gripping and grinning. Your job is to pretend you like them, even if you don't. And you know what's happened? The act has spread. Do you love for real? When's the last time you said, God, give me somebody to love who nobody loves? Oh, well, Brother Gibbs, I don't want to do that. He'd like, do it. There's a reason nobody loves him. How many of you all have figured out the world's full of goofy people? How many of you figured that out? How many of you all know some goofy people? How many of you got some of them in your own family? Yeah. How many of you are sitting next to one right now? Look at all of them, yeah. They're everywhere. And you know what God says? I forbid you, David, to fake it with them. I command you to love them. Well, they ought to just be glad I put up with them. They ought to be glad I don't tell them what I really think. You know what? You're an act. Have you ever gone to meet with the family and you tell the kids, now, whatever you do, don't repeat what we've been saying? And can I read the verse again? Let love be, what's the next word? Without dissimulation. God says, I forbid the fake. I forbid it. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, you love these people and they kind of attach themselves to you. And then it's like you got to put up with them. And you know what you're telling me? You don't really want to love them. You just want to use them as part of your act. My son Matthew was in his first year of Bible college, not here. By the way, he graduated from here and is a proud graduate of Landmark Baptist Bible College. He loves this place, loves your preacher. But he was in Bible college at another place to start, and he called me and said, I got to do a practical Christian service, and he says, one has caught my eye, Dad. I said, what is it? He said, it's the truck stop ministry. I said, really? I said, what's that? He said, well, we go up there and you hold church on Sunday morning for the truckers. And he said, I know you love truck stops, Dad. I've been in 100 of them with you. I said, yeah, I do love truck stops. The one thing that's wonderful about truck stops is there's nothing healthy to eat there. It's just all good food, just all good. And I said, well, what would you do? He said, well, there's a senior guy, he does the preaching. Then there's a junior guy, he preaches when the senior can't preach. And he said, I'd be the gopher. I'd help set stuff up, go up there real early, get ready for the 7 o'clock service. He said, pray with me about it. We prayed and he said, I think I'm gonna do the truck stop. Well, he called us on Saturday. He said, man, tomorrow's my big day, first day at the truck stop, pray with me. And my wife and I did. Sunday afternoon, he called us. I said, how'd it go? How'd it go? He said, awful, horrible. Was terrible. I said, what do you mean? He said, it was awful. I said, what happened? He said, well, come 7 o'clock, 4 guys drifted in. 3 of them are smoking. The other one's chewing tobacco, got a big wad in his cheek. They keep spitting on the floor. They all had hats on, and when we said, could you take your hats off, they just stared at us. So we sang a hymn, and they didn't sing a peep. They just stared at us. And he said, then the guy got up to preach, and he told them they were low lives and no good and awful people, and they ought to be ashamed that God lets them have another breath. And he said, one at a time, they got up and walked out. And he said, 5 minutes into the sermon, there was nobody there. And the guy said, you see, they just can't take hard preaching. And he said, Dad, I don't know how to say this, but if anybody talked to me like that, I'd walk out. He said, that's not how you do it, is it? And before I could answer, my wife, who was on the extension, piped in and she said, don't you ever do that. She said, God commands you to love those men. And Matt said, but Mom, they're not nice. And she said, son, Dad doesn't command you to love the pretty people. He commands you to love people. And she said, don't you ever treat anybody like that. He said, well, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem, Matt? He said, well, the senior guy quit. He said, this no good. Done this for a year. Every Sunday, they all walk out. Nobody's getting saved. I quit. He handed the box to the junior guy. The junior guy said, well, I only come because you come. I quit too. And they handed me the box. And they said to Matt, you're the new head of the truck stop ministry. And he said, I can't do that. I've never preached anywhere in my life. I can't do it. And they said, you'll do fine. Nobody could mess this up any worse than it is. You'll be fine. He said, Dad, I said, now, Matt, before you do anything, you go to the school and you ask them, what do you want me to do? And he came back and he said, they kind of said the same thing. They said, there's no way you can mess it up. How many of you understand that's not the world's greatest recommendation, right? And they said, we don't have anybody with any real talent to send. And how many of you understand that's not a great recommendation when you're standing there? And he said, Dad, I feel like I ought to do it, but how? And before I could say a word, my wife said, son, love them. Ask God to change your heart and love them for real. And he said, Mom, I don't. She said, ask God to change you, not them. Change you. And she said, find a way to show your love. Can I remind you, love always shows? Boy, read 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible says, without this love, we're nothing. Well, he called back on Tuesday and he said, I've been praying and fasting and I got an idea. I said, what's your idea? He said, I'm going to go up there on Saturday night, and I called. There's 2,500 trucks that park there most Saturday nights. And I got guys that are going to help me. We're going to knock on every trucker's door. And I'm going to tell them, if you want, I'll come up here at 4 a.m. to help get you up on Sunday. But if you'll come to church, I'll have a dozen donuts custom made to your order. I said, how are you going to do that? He said, well, number one, I think they'll like donuts, Dad, because you like donuts. How many of y'all like donuts? Hold your hand up. If you don't like donuts, you are one sick puppy. All right, I mean, that's all there is to it. And you understand, in the Bible, they were in the Old Testament. That's what manna was. Those were donuts coming down. And the closer they got to the promised land, they got Krispy Kremes. They just kept coming down. And he said, I was thinking of something they'd like. And I said, how are you going to get? He said, I went and got a bunch of ladies. And they're going to stay up all Saturday night and make the donuts, so we can show them some love Sunday morning. I said, wow. He said, pray for me, Dad. He said, God's doing something in my heart. Isn't it funny? We want God to change everybody else. The person God wants to change first in my life is me. The person God wants to change first in your life is you. Well, he called Friday and he said, pray, man, we're all set to go up there and knock on all those doors. And boy, the first truckie knocked on the door. He said, I'm Matt Gibbs and I want to invite you. And the guy got mad, cussed at him and said, get off my truck or I'll shoot you. And the guy had a gun. Next door, knocked on it. Guy said, I don't go to church and get away. And he threw garbage at Matt. Next door, threw a bunch of liquid out on him and soaked him. He had to go change his clothes. And then he knocked on a door of a truck and he said, I'll invite you to come to church. And he said, kid, we don't go to church. And he said, I got a question for you. He said, give me one reason why I should come to your church. Give me one reason. And Matt said, because I love you. He said, you what? He said, God's put a love in my heart for you. And a trucker said, son, there nobody said that to me for 30 years. And Matt got teary-eyed and he said, I love you and God loves you. He said, well, if I come to your church, is it going to be any good? And Matt said, no. He said, it'll be the first time I've ever done it. But he said, it'll be real short. He said, you're telling me you have never preached before, and you got the nerve to come out here and ask me to come to your church when you know it's not going to be any good? And Matt said, I know, but I do love you. That trucker looked at him and he said, son, here's what you don't know. I got 50 trucks in this yard that belong to me. And tomorrow morning, they're all going to be in your church. Amen. He said, somehow I believe you do care for us. He said, sit here. And man, he got on his radio and he called, and a guy called back and said, Mitch, you nuts? We don't go to church. And he said, well, you're going tomorrow. And he said, if you don't go, you're fired. He said, this preacher loves you, but I don't. And he said, you're going to be there. He said, now the good thing is the kid's never preached before and it's not going to be good. But he said, you got to meet this kid. He said, I'm telling you, he cares for us. And pretty soon the word started to spread. There's this young preacher kid, and he cares. He cares. That next Sunday morning, next day, that little room was packed. And Matt said, Dad, I got up and I had seven. I was supposed to sing a song and I forgot. And he said, I was shaking so hard. He said, I had 7 pages of notes and my sermon took 4 minutes. And I thought, man, I can't quit after 4 minutes. So I went through it again. And the second time it was quicker. And I thought, well, I better do it a third time. And he said, I started a third time, and a trucker sitting in the front said, that's enough, kid, it's okay. And he said, Dad, it was horrible. And I told him, I'm sorry, but God loves you, and I love you. And he said, let's pray. And he said, Dad, I bowed my head to pray. And some men walked forward. And I said to him, what are you doing? And he said, we just want what you got.
Amen.
Would anybody want what you got? If it's just an act, they don't want it. They shouldn't want it. But if you love for real, people crave that. 2 Sundays later, they gave him the whole restaurant. And then they gave him the lobby in the restaurant. And you know what they said? This kid can't preach. But there's something about him. He loves truckers. My son got a letter from a lady. And she said, you don't know me, but she said, my husband's a trucker and a very wicked man. He has spent over one half of his life in prison. And if it's bad, he's into it. And he's literally never been to church in his life. But he called me Sunday afternoon and said, you won't believe this, I got saved. And she said, how did that happen? He said, I went to church. And she said, how did you go to church? And he said, honey, there's this kid who loves us. Would anybody around you feel your love? Or is it just a nifty act that we talk about at church? But boy, do we know how to fold it up when we leave. I promise you, there's a whole world out there that needs to be loved. And I don't care who they are, God uses his love through you. This is not a love you produce. This is a love God produces through you. And it'll change everything. Do we love for real? Look at the second thing. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You know what the Bible says? I want you to prefer others over yourself. Now the world says, that is goofy. You gotta watch out for you. Because if you don't watch out for you, who in the world is gonna watch out for you? And you know what God says? You watch out for others, and I'll watch out for you. How many of you think God can watch out for you better than you can watch out for you? Every time. But how good are you at watching out for others? My granddad, we were in the cattle slaughtering business, and we raised a lot of cattle, but man, we slaughtered 5,000 to 7,000 head a week, and we had to buy a lot of cattle. And one day he called me in, and my granddad was very simple when it came to the Bible. Heard him say this many times. He says, if the Bible says it, you do it. It's written by God, and you're not God. And that made sense to him. By the way, how many of you think that's pretty good right there? If the Bible says you do it, and it's written by God, and you're not God. Well, he said, David, I got something I want you to do. I said, sure, Grandpa, what? He said, we bought this farmer's cattle too cheap. And I looked at it, and I said, we didn't do anything wrong. We just stole them at the auction. Other people didn't bid. We did. We stole them. He said, that's not how you do it, son. He said, you want somebody to buy your cattle too cheap? I said, no. Then he said, don't you ever do to anybody else what you wouldn't want them to do to you. He said, I've put money in this envelope. I want you to get to this farmer tonight. Now, this is in Ohio. That farm's 300 miles away, and snow is flying. He says, you get there, and you tell him, Earl Gibbs is sorry. We're Christians. We don't do this, and we want to make it right. All the way there, I kept thinking, wonder if I'd do this. Not me, Brother Gibbs. If I can get the better end of a deal, I'm going to ring it blue because I'm out for. Who are you out for? You? Jesus said, I want you to be out for others. I got there, it was dark. I went up, man, snow still flying, and knocked on their door, and the farmer's wife came and pulled a little curtain. There was a window in the door and looked out. And she opened it up, and I said, my name's Dave Gibbs, and my granddad, Earl Gibbs, said, I'm to come apologize to you. We bought your cattle too cheap, and we don't do that to people. We want to make it right here. And I handed her the money. Her husband was there then hugging her, and she opened the money, and she started to cry so hard she got a nosebleed. And she turned to her husband and she said, what kind of man does this? I'll never forget his words. What kind of man does this? He said, a Christian, honey. A real Christian. A real one. Wow. I made that trip a lot of times, so did others. And when my granddad died, we had a visitation from noon until 8, and then the next morning was to be the funeral. And they had to postpone the funeral for 3 days. Thousands of farmers showed up. Thousands. We're in Ohio. They came from Texas and Montana. They came from Iowa and Illinois and Wisconsin. They come from Florida. They come from everywhere. And for 3.5 days, they walked by and said, let me tell you about your granddad. At the end of the trail for you, what are they going to be able to say? Grandpa, you never got past the fifth grade. But you knew how to take care of others. And the Lord honored that. That dear lady came by and she said, it's hard to imagine, back then they all called me Little Gibbs. She said, Little Gibbs, be like your granddad, be real. There is no such thing as a good Christian who doesn't prefer others. You know what I've discovered? Sometimes I forget. Just put me in rush hour traffic. And I don't care if you get in behind me, I just don't want you in front of me. I'm in a car, we're going to the airport, and we're late, and I can't miss this flight. And the man's driving, and I'm in the front seat, his wife's in the back. And we're letting everybody in. And it's driving me nuts. And I didn't say it out loud, but I did say it in my heart. I said, come on, we've been Christian long enough. How many of you all understand that one, right? She reached up, tapped me on the shoulder from the back seat, and she said, my husband was never like this until he heard you preach on preferring others. I said, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Isn't this great? Can I warn you? If you won't prefer others in the little things, you'll never prefer them in the big things. Wow. I want to love for real. And I want to prefer others for real. Look at a third and final point. And by the way, I encourage you to read this whole chapter when you get home tonight. He says, I want you to be, verse 11, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. How's your fervency in serving God? We're living in a culture that says God ought to just be thrilled if you do anything for him. Well, you're not commanded to just do anything for him. to be real, we got to be fervent in serving the Lord. One of the reasons why I love this church and I love your pastor is he exhorts us to be fervent about it. Now, no one's fervent by accident. And if something matters, you'll get fervent. Here we are in all these college teams, these bowls and the pros and all this stuff. And you know what? The guys that are fans are fervent about their team. They wear cheese heads. They'll paint their faces. They'll paint their kids. And you say, you people are nuts. No, we're just fervent. You know what God says? I command you to be fervent for me. Fervent. A black pastor friend of mine, we're traveling together, and he said, I'll get our seat assignments. I said, okay, and we're going to get on the plane. He said, I got us in the very last row. I said, no, we don't go in the last row. That's where the engines are, man, and the man, you sit back there, your teeth will vibrate for a month. He said, no, we got to be in the last row. And he said, we got to get on last. I said, no. All the bin space will be gone. We don't want to do that. He said, no, we got to get on last. He said, trust me. And I thought, this is stupid. Finally, the gate agent said, come on, you got to get on. He said, okay, it's time. I said, for what? He said, hold my briefcase. He unbuttons his shirt and pulls it open, and on his t-shirt, he has printed, I can tell you how to go to heaven. And he walks up to the gate agent like this. And she says, wow. Now we get on the plane, and he's going down each row. Because it says, come talk to me. And every row is reading it. And one of the flight attendants said to me, you with him? And I'm like, well, yeah, kind of. I mean, and I'm looking at him as we're going down, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if I did that, I could put the whole Romans Road down here, man. We'd have plenty of space. We go slowly down each road. One lady said, hold on, I want to take a picture. And I thought, man, don't get me in it. I'm going to... You say, well, Brother Gibbs, that's not my style. Just what is your style? When's the last time you did something fervent for Christ? We get to the back, he buttons up, and I said, wow. He said, just pray. That plane took off when they undid the seatbelt sign. Like that, seven people came right back. Seven? A flight attendant came up and said, do not get off this plane. I've been looking for you. She said, I haven't been able to sleep for a month. I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. I've been looking for you. Do not leave. And I'm like, wow, we got revival in the back of the plane. He's leading people to Christ. I'm leading people to Christ. Now the world says, hey, stop it. We don't care if you're fervent for a team. Why don't you be shop till you drop fervent? That's okay. But for Christ? And when is the last time for real you were fervent. David, are these people real? Or is this just a good act? Do they really mean what you're saying? Or have they just mastered how to pretend? Wow. Do we love for real? Do we prefer others for real? And are we fervent for real? Last week's gone. We don't get to re-script it. But next week can be unlike any you've ever lived, because the God we serve will empower you to be real. Now, it starts with a living sacrifice. And then saying, God, I want to love for real. And I want to prefer others for real. And by your grace, by your power, I want to be fervent for real. Father, thank you for this night.